Good morning, River Church.
Wow.
Cast systems are working. Check. Check, 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 check. One, two. There we go. How's everybody doing today? It's great to be with you all again. Everybody had a good Thanksgiving, I hope. Amen. I know anytime I go anywhere, nobody's worried about me. They all want to see this precious little thing. She met Santa the other day and was just all smiles, and she's precious, just everything. So yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving's awesome, right? It's an awesome time to get together with family and eat some good food, hopefully. Just thank God for the many blessings he's put in our lives. I've noticed something else about it. You can be equally thankful and equally annoyed with some of those people in your family. Anybody else kind of live in that? Graham, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, Graham. Yeah, it's possible to be very thankful for family, but at the same time be like, okay, I've seen enough of you for today. And that's part of life. That's part of being human. That's part of what it is to live here and love and laugh and get annoyed and get irritated, right? It's all part of the human experience. And sometimes we think that God will get rid of that human experience for us. Sometimes we think when we accept God as our Savior, when we pray the right prayers, when we pay our tithes the way we should, when we do all of these things and we check off all these boxes, that stuff that God wants us to do, that he's going to take us out of this human experience and we're just going to live life like nobody else lives it, right? We're going to live life in perfection. We're going to have all the money we need. All our relationships are going to go great. Our job is going to be wonderful. We're never going to hit traffic. We're never going to get in a car accident, right? The stuff at the house is just always going to work. The dishwasher is never going to break. But how many of you have noticed that's not what happens? It's not what happens at all. And God leaves us in this human experience and really enters it with us. I think it's easy sometimes, and maybe all have experienced this like me, when you get in difficulty, when you get in problems, when stuff in life goes wrong, to think that maybe it's because of me. I did something wrong. I didn't pray the right way. I didn't believe hard enough. My faith wasn't good enough. I didn't give enough. I wasn't generous enough. There's a list of things that I'll go down as reasons why it's all my fault and reasons that this is some sort of punishment from God. Because I think sometimes we think of God as like the ultimate Bond villain. Like, if we don't do the right thing, then punishment is going to find us, and he's going to get us, and we're just going to be tortured until we finally do what he wants. But I don't think that's the way God really works. Now that Jesus has come, and grace has entered, and he has redeemed us with the Father, and we are now in a restored relationship with him, I think that life just creates its own difficulty sometimes. I think sometimes our choices create difficulty. I think sometimes the choices of others create difficulty. I don't think that God is the author of all of your pain, just trying to manipulate you into doing what he wants. I think God is a loving God who, even in life's difficulty, decides to come and be a part of it with you. Right? That's what we see in the story of Jesus. We see Jesus came and was of all perfection. All things were created in him and through him, and in him all things are held together. But he humbles himself and he comes in human form to come and be with us and experience humanity and experience the things that we experience. It says in Scripture that he was tempted just as we all are tempted. And think about the beauty of that. That he could have, you know, we think that he could have just come and redeemed everything, and then everything would be perfect, and it'd be like we're in heaven now. But instead, he decided to come and be a part of it with us. I've noticed in times of difficulty in my life, I don't really want people's advice sometimes. They mean well. They love me. Nothing against them. But sometimes people want to give you advice when really you just need somebody to be there with you, right? You just need somebody to love you and support you and not tell you 10 things that you probably did wrong and the reason you're going through this, but to just sit with you in the mud and say, hey, I'm here with you, right? I'm just here with you. I'm sitting with you in this. And yeah, things could be different. And yeah, there's probably some areas where you could improve, but instead of giving you a lecture, I'm just going to be a part of it with you. The Christmas story is filled with problems. It's filled with problems. Mary gets pregnant at, they think she was around 13 or 14, right? And the angel comes and says, blessed and highly favored are you. And but now she's living in the tension of being blessed by God, but dealing with the judgment of humanity, the judgment of her community. People that were supposed to love her and support her are now rejecting her because they think she's pregnant out of wedlock. Joseph is about to marry this girl, and all of a sudden she shows up pregnant, and he knows it wasn't because of him. And, you know, the Bible calls him a righteous man, but that righteous man is full up to his neck in doubt right now. Can I really believe what she's saying? Is she really carrying something that was given to her by the Holy Spirit? We see it throughout Scripture. Doesn't matter where you look, tension is constantly at bay. David is anointed king, and he's running from Saul for years. For years, he's running from Saul, and he's supposed to be king on top, you know, crown on the head, sitting on the throne, and instead he's running for his life. Scripture is full of tension. And what is that tension in our lives today? What's that tension where we're living somewhere in between blessed and highly favored, but also burdened and challenged and fearful and sometimes full of doubt and sometimes wondering what tomorrow's going to bring? I'm excited for Christmas this year. It's the first Christmas with baby girl, right? It's exciting. I'm also living in the tension of being really excited about the holidays and having to pay for them. Right? So things can be so special and you're so looking forward to it, but it also has this area where it's kind of tainted. And I could let the difficulty ruin all of the good things, or I could just thank God for the tension and that he's here with me in it. That he enters my problems, that he enters my life, not to just solve everything, but to be with me in the middle of it. The past few years has taught me that more than I think anything ever could have. Past few years, me and Madison have been going through difficulty since leaving pastoring, because leaving pastoring was not just leaving a job or an income, but it was also leaving an identity. Being a full-time pastor, being raised in the same church all my life, leaving that was like having to find a whole new me. Who was I if I wasn't at that church with those people doing what I felt God had called me to do? And that was a really difficult thing to go through. And I thought that when I left pastoring, God was going to show up and do some miracles and that I never would have missed it, right? Wouldn't have missed a beat. I'd just move on to the next thing he had for me. And instead, he had me sitting in this really difficult place, and I can't tell you how many times I wondered, God, where are you? Where are you in the middle of this? Where are you? Why did you ask me to leave something that was good? It was stable. It was solid. I was having a good impact. And now I'm home, kind of hopping from job to job and doing all of these odd jobs when I felt like you called me to do something else. And I had to find my way through that. And man, I tell you, Polly really helped that. She really took me out of that cloud. And now I look back and I see how God's purpose was never just to take me out of the difficulty. God's purpose was to show that he was with me in the difficulty. God was with me in the mistakes. God was with me in the financial problems. God was with me in losing my identity. God was sitting with me in the middle of it. And I thought it was because I did all of these things wrong and I just didn't do the right thing. But really, I was right where I needed to be, right when I needed to be there in order for God to demonstrate his love for me. The tension that you're living in right now is not something to escape. It's something that God is trying to reveal himself through. Now, like I said, God does not create all of your tension. He is not the reason for all of your difficulty in life, but he's good enough to show up in the middle of it and reveal his love to you in ways that you never would have received it any other way. It's an amazing thing when you get married or you're in any sort of long-term relationship. You know, it starts out all smiles and all lovey-dovey and, you know, it's all cuddles and kisses, but eventually life hits you, and those cuddles and kisses sometimes turn into cusses, and and you just have to find a way through it. But you know what I've noticed? It's that getting through those moments of difficulty actually bind you together far more than all of the good times, right? I mean, who can't love their spouse when everything's great, and you're on vacation, you got all the money, and no family trouble? You know, mother-in-laws or father-in-laws aren't driving you crazy, you know? Who can't love your spouse in that? But when life hits and financial difficulties come, or one of your, you know, your spouse gets ill, or something's going on in your life that creates tension between you two, and you don't agree, when you make it through that season, you see the love that you had for one another. You see the forgiveness that you had for one another. You see that you didn't have to be perfect in order to be loved. And that's the sort of thing that binds a couple in a relationship together. Whether it's a spousal relationship or even a friendship. You know, when you walk with your friend through losing a loved one or are going through some sort of pain in their life, that friendship becomes a whole lot stronger. It's amazing that in tension, our relationships are created on a stronger foundation. And I wonder if that's why God allows tension to come into our lives. God allows moments of difficulty to show up because he knows in those moments when he reveals himself as just being a loving friend always by our side. It says in Scripture that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He never leaves you. It doesn't matter what you do. He's always sticking with you. And it's in those moments of tension that we finally see that revealed. It's in those moments of difficulty that we finally see God show up and not as this all-powerful being who's just going to fix all of our problems, but as a friend and as someone who loves us and as someone who cares for us and as someone who's going to show up even in the most difficult of seasons. It's tempting when you're in the middle of difficulty to just try and escape. Anybody been there before? Right? I'm in the middle of financial difficulties, and so I'm just going to work. I'm going to find a way to get out of these financial difficulties. You do that, you find out that all of that work has now taken over your life, and now you have no personal connection with anybody because you're so busy working, and so now you've got to fix all your personal relationships because you've been avoiding them so that you could fix the financial difficulty, and it seems like no matter what you do, something gets out of balance, right? And escapism and trying to get out of difficulty often just leads to more problems. I know because I did it. My grandfather used to say, you can't come back from where you haven't been. I don't want to hear a sermon from somebody who hasn't lived it before. Because it's after I live it that I see the value in having walked through it, right? I want to take you to the scripture. It's Psalms chapter 23. And we'll just take it from the top. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to focus on this part right here in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about that for a second. God doesn't come in and vanquish all of your enemies. He doesn't get rid of all of the difficulty. Instead, he prepares a table for you in the middle of it. And I wonder how many of us are not sitting at that table because we're waiting for the enemies to disappear. How many of us refuse to pull up a chair because we're looking at God and saying, are you going to do something about all of this? Are you going to do something about this situation? Are you ever going to bring restoration to my relationship? Are you ever going to heal my wife or heal my husband or heal my mom or heal my dad? Are you ever going to show up and reveal yourself as Jehovah Jireh, my provider, or Jehovah Rapha, my healer? Are you ever going to vanquish the thing that is completely destroying me? And God is sitting there at the table just inviting you to come and be a part of what he's prepared. He's come and prepared this huge feast. And it says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil when I decide to pull up a chair and join you at the table, even though I've got difficulty all around me. My cup runs over, not when I'm standing next to the table fussing at you for not fixing it, but when I sit at the table and you just start pouring. You start pouring grace, you start pouring mercy, you start pouring love, you start pouring forgiveness. It's amazing how much we find healing in the middle of difficulty when we decide just to go ahead and pull up that chair. When we decide to go ahead and sit down, let God be God, let God do what God's going to do, but just know that his goodness and his mercy are following us all the days of our lives. It's easy in difficulty to think that God's goodness is up ahead somewhere, right? When I'm in the middle of the problem, when I'm in the middle of everything falling apart, I just got to get through it so that I can get to God's goodness somewhere down the road. But the truth is, God's goodness and his mercy are with you right here, right now. In the middle of whatever's going on, in the middle of, you know, maybe your job's falling apart and you thought it was good and stable and you'd always have it, and now it looks like you're not going to be there much longer. Maybe it looks like, you know, like me, like you got Christmas to pay for and you're not sure how you're going to do it yet. Maybe it looks like you're sick and the doctor says you're not going to get well and you have to trust God in the middle of it. Maybe you're a caregiver. Man, that is a special calling, to care for a loved one as they go through cancer or whatever illness they're dealing with. Know that God has prepared a table for you in whatever situation you're in. And it's our decision whether we decide to sit at it or not. I thought that God had abandoned me when I was going through the difficulty of the past couple of years. I thought he'd just taken his hands off of me, that he'd let me go. The truth is, I just didn't decide to pull up a chair. I didn't decide to sit down and have him anoint my head with oil, to have him overflow my cup. It was my decision, not his. He's waiting on us. Will we trust him enough? Will we believe his word enough? Will we say, Lord, I don't understand it. I wish that you would fix it, but I thank you for your goodness that you're with me in the middle of it. The tension in your life right now is preparing something in you that you probably never would have asked for and never would have figured out how to do it otherwise. How else do you find ways to enjoy life in the middle of difficulty unless you have difficulty in your life, right? How do you prove to your spouse how much you love them until they've done something that you don't agree with or don't approve of and you decide to stick with them through it? How else do you prove to your child that you're never going to leave them than when they disobey and they're running from you than when you stick by them and say, I love you anyway, even when you try and run? All of these things are what proves the very thing we're looking for. We're looking for God's goodness. Great. God's with you in the middle of the difficulty. It's not up ahead. It's not some big solution where he's going to take away all your problems. Because I promise you, one problem's going to go away, and another one's going to show up. All right? There's that old saying, you're either headed into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. But it's always one of those stages. No matter what stage you're in, God's with us in every single one of them. His goodness isn't just coming out of the storm. His goodness is heading into the storm. His goodness is in the storm. His love for you is just waiting to reveal itself, and all we have to do is just choose to see it, choose to accept it. So here's what I want us to do this week. When you're in your prayer time, when you're with God, I want you to just take off the idea that your difficulty is because of some sort of failure you had, right? And maybe you did mess up. Maybe you committed a crime or something, and you have to deal with the consequences of that. But take off the idea that what I'm in right now is because of my own failures and God is punishing me. And instead of that, I want you to name the valley that you're in. Name the situation you're going through, but without any shame. Without any guilt attached to it, without of, oh, I'm just a terrible person. Like, take all of that off of it. Just say, this is what I'm going through. And then acknowledge that God is with you in the middle of it. It doesn't matter that you messed up or maybe you did fail. What matters is that God still chooses to stick by you, that he's never leaving you, that he's never forsaking you. He's continuing to be true to his promise. Even in your wrongdoing, even in your messing up, even in your doubt, even in your lack of faith, no matter what's going on, we cannot be separated from the love of God through Christ Jesus. So accept that love. And then I want you to look for the shepherd, not the exit. Don't look for a way to get out of it. Don't look for a way to escape it. I want you just to start looking for Jesus in the middle of it. Look at what he's showing you. Look at what he's proving to you. Look at how, even though you're struggling, that God has continued to sustain you, that you still have food to eat. Look at how, you know, even though your relationship is difficult, you're still hanging on. Look at how, even though your job is not what you thought it was going to be, that God is still providing for you. There's so many blessings that we take for granted. Look at that you have two legs and you're able to walk. Look at that your body is healthy. Look at all of the miracles that God continues to place in our lives that we just, you know, take for granted. My sister-in-law, a couple months ago, sliced her finger, like, wide open with a hedge trimmer. And in that 1 second, you know, she cuts hair for a living. In that 1 second, her entire livelihood was put at risk. She didn't know how it was going to heal. You know, a nerve was severed. She didn't know what was going to happen. And that scary moment, right? That scary moment, you're looking for a way of escape. You're looking for how God's going to come down and touch it and heal it, and you wake up tomorrow and everything's going to be better. Instead, she's gone through some surgeries. She's had lots of stitches. She's gone to physical therapy frequently and has to do all of these exercises at home. And now that healing is coming, but it took a little effort. And you know what? She's so resilient, and she's such a fighter. She could have, you know, pleaded with the heavens why God allowed it to happen, but instead she got to work, and she started doing the things she knew would make it better, and she found God's goodness in the middle of it. And now she's right back to work, just in time for Christmas. Just had a great vacation with her kids and family in Disney World. And, you know, there's so many blessings in the middle of your difficulty, and all you have to do is take a moment to recognize them. So don't look for escape. Look for Jesus in the middle of it, and expect goodness in the middle of it. Expect God's goodness to show up. Expect God's mercy to show up. Expect him I can't tell you over the past couple of years how many times I've almost gotten in a car accident, and by some miracle, I didn't. Now, I could take that for granted, and I could say, God, where are you in the middle of all my difficulty, and why haven't you fixed all of, you know, paid all my bills yet? Or I could say, oh, my goodness, thank you, God, for saving my health. I could have been injured. Thank you for saving my finances, because it wouldn't be cheap to get the car fixed. I could thank God for so many things when I just take a moment to see his goodness in the middle of everything. I've noticed something about trying to escape difficulty, of running from it, of people that have continued to run from it instead of accept it, is that it usually develops really emotionally immature people, very spiritually immature people, because they never find that humility to just accept God's love even when life isn't perfect. They never find that place of peace that life doesn't have to be perfect in order for me to have joy or in order for God to be good. Life can be full of difficulty, but God's still good. Life can have plenty of sadness, but I can still have joy. I can live in the tension between blessed and burdened. I can be thankful, and I could be worried for what tomorrow is going to bring. I can have both of those things going on. I could be thankful for my health. I could also be concerned that maybe I'll get something down the road, right? Anybody else got anxiety? Yay. Fun. But we can live in the tension, and we can choose to be grateful, and we can choose to see God's goodness even in the middle of it. I can be excited about Christmas and still worried about finances. I could be excited to be with my family and still find some of them highly annoying. I can still live in that tension. And I can see God's goodness in it, and I could say, thank you, Lord. You know, King David said this later in life. He said, it was good for me that I was afflicted because it taught me your statutes. It taught me to have a relationship with you. It taught me your law. It was good for me that I went through difficulty. It was good for me that I had to live through tension because it taught me how much God loves me, how much his goodness and his mercy are constantly chasing me down. If you'd bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us in the middle of every tension that life creates, Lord God. Whether it was because of something we did wrong or somebody else, or no matter what it is, Father, you constantly are by our side. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You constantly continue to prove your love and your kindness to us every day, Lord God. Father, we ask that you would reveal to us, Lord, the areas of our lives where we have chosen to focus on the problem instead of the problem solver. That we have chosen to try and find a way of escape instead of just allowing you to be God in the middle of it. Lord, we ask that you would give us the grace, that you would give us the wisdom to see when you've set a table before us in the presence of our enemies, Lord God. That even though we're surrounded by difficulty, that we wouldn't just look for you to fix it, Father, but that we would thank you that you have prepared a feast for us right in the middle of it. We thank you that you anoint our heads with oil. We thank you that our cup overflows as we continue to trust you, as we continue to obey you, as we continue to believe that you are a good God and your goodness never ends, and nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. No height, nor depth, nor angel, nor demon, not life, not death, not heavens or things beneath, everything, Lord God, has no power over the love that you have for us. Just take a second and lift your hands to him right now. Father, we receive your goodness right now. We choose to see your mercy. We choose to see your faithfulness even in the middle of our difficulty, Father. And as we walk forward through the holiday season and through everything that life has for us in 2026, Lord God, we choose to live in that tension knowing that you are with us, knowing that you'll never forsake us, knowing that it's good for us, Father, that you're doing something in us that far exceeds anything we ever could have imagined. We stand on your promise. It says in the Word of God that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the good things God has in store for those who love him. We declare our love for you today, Lord God, and choose to follow you the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for having me here today. It's always a pleasure. And I pray that you have just an incredible Christmas season. Love y'all.
Amen. What a great word. I told y'all he was going to bring it. Are you thankful for God's faithfulness? Don't look for the exit. Look for God where you are now. He's with you now. Amen. Thank you, Brother Paul. That was awesome. Please don't forget to turn in your communication cards at the door, and have a blessed day. We're going to see you on Wednesday. I'll be bringing a message called Heart Issues. Hope to see you.
The Lord, our God and King, is love.